Welcome back to Better Than I Found It, the podcast all things college golf. You're listening to Mike McGraw, the men's golf coach at Baylor University. Today's guest on Better Than I Found It is Maury Rose, one of the newest members of the Oklahoma Golf Hall of Fame. Maury will be inducted next week in a ceremony in Oklahoma. Really proud to know Maury. A lot of you listening to this podcast have benefited from his touch and the way he has impacted the game of golf in Oklahoma. I'm a big fan, really proud to call him a friend, and I think you'll enjoy this interview about his time with the Oklahoma Junior Golf Tour. Okay, Better Than I Found It listeners, join me in welcoming one of the newest members of the Oklahoma Golf Hall of Fame, a good friend of mine and one of the great characters and most important characters in the history of golf in Oklahoma. Please welcome Maury Rose. Maury, it's great to have you.
Great to have you, for you to have me on.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's always great to talk to you, Mike.
Absolutely. I enjoy it every time. This is really cool for me. I was really excited when I'm on the committee that kind of sends names forward to the Oklahoma Golf Hall of Fame, and your name was brought up, and I was really thrilled that they were considering you, and obviously you were voted in. I think it's fantastic. Really happy for you. Very well deserved. I'm sure you're somewhat humbled by this whole deal.
I'm very humbled, Mike, and I'm going to say this, and if I get a chance to at the induction, I'm accepting the award on behalf of the boys and girls and the parents that supported it for 22 years. They're the Hall of Famers. I just ran tournaments.
Well,
and cared about them.
You did, but you created something, and we're going to talk about that OJGT here in just a minute, kind of get deeper into it, talk a little bit more about it. But you definitely created something that obviously needed support from families and kids and junior golfers and all of that, but you created something that didn't exist before and has provided incredible competition for kids for over 20 years. But you're going in with a pretty good class of players here. I mean,
oh, yeah,
this is good. You've got the winningest person in the history of the Oklahoma Golf Association, Mike Huguet. He's won more titles than anyone.
Yeah.
Stacy Permonasud from Enid, Oklahoma, who won on the LPGA Tour, and probably the best, most decorated junior golfer, high school golfer in the history of Oklahoma.
Enid, Ron Oklahoma?
Definitely. Uh-huh. And then Ron Streck, who I guess was the first player to ever win on the PGA Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour, and the Champions Tour. He won on all three tours, wow. First guy to ever do that. And Bo Weininger, who won six times on the tour, was on the very first team at Oklahoma State in 1947. And he won six times on the PGA Tour. That's pretty serious company you're going in right there with, Maury.
I can't believe that I'm part of that.
Well, you know, you were a very fine player yourself. I know that. But you obviously are going in as a person that has promoted the game in a big, big way in the state of Oklahoma. Really proud to call you my friend, but it's going to be great seeing you next week at that award ceremony.
And Mike, one of the things that your podcast, I just hope I can look back and think that junior golf is better than I found it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, wonderful. And I know it is. You don't have to worry or wonder about that for sure. But, you know, having run the OJGT for all of those years, I know that you saw a lot of lessons learned through the years. I saw a lot of kids that grew up, matured, as you saw them go from age 13 all the way until they went to college. But let's talk about a lesson you learned way, way back at the Midwest City Nine-Hole Golf Course.
Which one? Which lesson? Yeah,
There were a few. I wrote about this when I wrote that article about you for Golf Oklahoma Magazine last month. And but you kids played a little nine-hole golf course that you nicknamed affectionately Midget Meadows, just a little golf course where kids grew up, got better, got to play golf every single day. But you guys had a little indiscretion, and tell me about that. Tell me about how you learned a lesson.
People ask me, why did you do that? I still can't tell people. I was a teenager that was nuts. You know, that teenagers do stupid things, you know, that they can't really. But But, the greatest lesson about that was when my granddad Oscar came over, we thought he was going to, my brother and I thought he was going to kill us. And he sat us down and he hugged us and he just says, well, you guys are screwed up and you got to fix it. And that's when we went to work for the maintenance department for 2 years. And I never saw anything except the back of a paycheck, other than a savings account. And when I had enough, my brother and I had enough money in those accounts to go pay our debt, he made us cash them out and take $100 bill, $2,100 bills to City Hall and fork them over. And that was a heck of a lesson.
Well, I mean,
in the late 1960s.
I bet it was. And, you know, you do a little vandalism, kind of stupid indiscretion. Don't know why you did it. Don't know why today, but it provided a great opportunity for you to learn a lesson. And, you're thinking about it over 50 years later. Pretty impressive.
Yep. And you know, Eddie Abbott was the pro there. And Eddie called us in. He could have told me at that time that I'll never play John Conrad or Midget Meadows again. And he didn't. And when I signed my letter of intent to play at Oklahoma City University years later, he said, I'm proud of you, Moore. He said, I'm going to tell you this. The game has now been good to you. You need to give back tenfold in your life to the game. And I hope that I have done that.
Well, that's another great lesson that Eddie taught you right there. It's like, you have so much done for you and so much given to you. You've got to give back. And hopefully the kids and the parents and the families and that have benefited from the Oklahoma Junior Golf Tour all through the years, hopefully they want to give back to the game as well, or just give back in general. So,
and they had, and Mike, I have had parents through the years who have helped kids that of single parent households that can't afford it. And so you have a kid that needs to pay an entry fee, and it's done anonymously. They never wanted to know. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the families that I've had through the years, Mike. And it's a great blessing to me, because there are good people out there that care about other people. And the OJGT parents and families, by and large, are that way.
Yeah, so, I agree. I was there for a lot of those tournaments recruiting through the years. I remember seeing that very thing. But, you know, getting back to the little indiscretion you had in Midwest City, when you told your son Dayton that this article was going to be written, you know, and you mentioned to him that maybe that part of the article would include would include what you did as a kid. What did Dayton say to you?
I just talked to him on the phone about it. You know, I said, what do you think? Should I see if Mike would put this in there about the indiscretion and whatnot? And he just said, Dad, is it true? Because he knew it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if it's true and you consider yourself a teacher of young people, you have to put that in there. The good and the bad. Huh?
He's right. But the main thing is, it's like, why wouldn't you put a story in there where young kids made a mistake, held accountable for it, learned from it, paid their debt back, and moved on? It's like, that's a slam dunk to me. And I'm glad we did. But speaking of Dayton, a lot of people don't know this. I mean, Dayton obviously came and played golf at Oklahoma State. I was the assistant coach when Dayton was on the team. But Dayton made match play in two U.S. juniors. He made match play in two U.S. amateurs. And he was the runner-up in consecutive years in the U.S. public links, 1 year to Ryan Moore and the other to Brant Snedeker. I mean, Dayton had a heck of a junior and amateur and college golf career.
He had a lot of talent, and I just don't think that he really wanted to be a professional golfer. I just think he wanted to go to work and make a living, raise a family. And I'll tell you what, he's a father could never ask for a better son. The older I get, the more attentive he is to me. And a parent can't ask for anything more.
Yes, Dayton is an impressive young man. And when I wrote my book, I don't know, 7 years ago, any of the stories that I wrote that I thought might maybe the person it was about wouldn't love it, I sent the article or the part of the story to them and said, hey, what do you think of this? Is it correct? Is it accurate? Yeah. Do you feel comfortable with me including it? Because I really didn't want the book to be a tell-all, right? And the story goes, with Dayton was in the last semester of his senior year. He wasn't going to be playing in the postseason. They had a great team, ranked number one in the country. And Mike Holder was having a meeting with the team. And something was said about turning professional and you seniors are moving on. Dayton was one of those seniors. And Mike said, how many of you guys want to play professional golf? And everybody raised their hand, including Dayton. And Mike looked at him, and it was very direct. I mean, brutally honest and direct. Mike said, Dayton, you're lying to me. Anybody that takes care of his business the way you have the last 4 years doesn't want to play professional golf, has no business playing professional golf. You need to take this degree that you've just earned and go make a living. And Dayton told me, he said it crushed him for 2 or 3 days. But when he started thinking about it, he thought, he's right. I'm not going to be a professional golfer. I haven't prepared to be one. So what has Dayton told you? He told me to include that article or that story.
Same thing. Exact same thing, Mike, he told me when I told him about my transgressions and all that. He said, I think Coach Holder said, you're lying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I remember what he told me that he told you. He told you, he said, what's the truth? Put it in there. And I respect that about Dayton. Dayton's not going to sugarcoat anything for me or anybody else. He tells the truth.
He's done a great job of that. And honestly, he looked back on it. He said, yeah, that was the truth. Coach Holder was telling me the truth. And I'm glad I learned it then. And it's made me a better man. I'm better in the world than I would have been. So mm-hmm. I think, although it's hard to hear the truth sometimes we need to hear it.
Well, you know, Mike, he told me when he had Jordan, his son, who's 13 now, he said, I'm not ever going to ask Jordan if he wants me to teach him how to play golf. And about a year and a half ago, Jordan came to him and said, Dad, would you teach me to play? And that's when Dayton said, I've been waiting to hear that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming from him, not mm-hmm. Dayton. You know,
my dad was a golf professional. We had 7 kids in our family. All the kids got started at age 5, including me.
Right.
And I mean, it took 2 times to the golf course and I was done. I hated it. Didn't want to be around it. And my dad said, fine, you don't have to. You're not forced to play golf. And 5 years later, when I decided I wanted to play golf, I came to my dad and said, help me. I want to do this now. And I think I'm in golf today because I didn't have a father who was overbearing, you know.
And I still see a lot of parents who sometimes, I don't want to say that they're really pushy, but you wonder sometimes, and I look at the kids that are coming to us more and more that started and they've only been playing golf for a couple of years that are really good athletes. People don't realize what a great athlete Jordan Spieth was, you know, but today's tour and everything else, including girls, they're athletes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are no fat boys out there playing anymore, you know, and that's why they're so good. They know how to play athletics.
Well, Do you agree? Oh, I totally agree. There's more athletes. Dayton was an athlete playing golf. I mean,
he's a really good baseball player. And to this day, he still says, I'd rather play baseball than golf. He didn't like practicing in baseball and going out there and shagging somebody's line drives at batting practice. He wanted the ball in his hands.
There you go.
But no, I mean, he's been a very good son. I don't know what I did to deserve that. His mother probably did a great job as a mom besides me, you know.
I totally understand.
But he's been a very good boy and a very good man and works his fanny off.
Yeah, and I know you harbored dreams of him possibly being a PGA Tour player as he was growing up, and I know that's every father would want that for his son if that's what his son wanted. But I got to think you're more proud of him as a father and as an adult and what he's doing out in the world than you probably ever could have been as a golfer.
For standing up and doing what he wanted to do with his life.
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen.
No, you know, it doesn't.
I've been lucky.
Yes,
you know, I've been lucky in a lot of ways. You know.
Well, I think Dayton's a really, really great kid. He was on the team at a time when we had some pretty awesome guys: Zach Robinson, and Stuart Dodson, and Alex Noren, and just a bunch of really, really good guys on those teams.
And then Hunter Mahan.
Oh yeah. I mean, Hunter's
a great kid.
He was a stud, and what a good player he was as well. But getting back to your early years of the OJGT, the Oklahoma Junior Golf Tour, you created something that they didn't have in Oklahoma before, and that was once August 20th rolled around and kids went back to school, they kind of put their clubs up, definitely competitively. Mm-hmm. They didn't play again until the spring when they might go out for the high school golf team. And there was a void there. I mean, a void. And I'm going to give a statistic that not very many people know.
Okay.
I've said it often, but in the state of Oklahoma, I'm not just talking about Oklahoma State. I'm talking about any college team in Oklahoma. David Edwards was a first-team All-American in 1977 and 78. The next time that an Oklahoma-born and bred kid who grew up playing junior golf and high school golf in Oklahoma became a first-team All-American was Kevin Tway, and the year was 2011. So now, but I contend that Kevin Tway was part of your early OJGT mm-hmm. kids.
Yes.
I mean, that first group of kids when they were 13. But my point is, Oklahoma wasn't producing a ton of great junior players. And they may have in the 50s and 60s, but once David Edwards came through, there weren't any more. We had nothing but football in the fall in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And your tour, which was there on weekends, kids would get out of class on Friday, drive to whatever town it was, play the tournament over the weekend, and go back to school Monday. That's incredible what you were able to create.
I remember talking to Coach Holder about it when Dayton was a freshman.
Yeah.
And I remember what he said. I said, what needs to happen? And he said, there needs to be a tour that's held on weekends. It's multiple rounds, not just one round. And there's nothing for the kids to play in the fall. And that's the best time of the year to play golf in Oklahoma.
Yeah, and golf courses are empty because people are going to watch football, and the weather's perfect.
Well, and then as it grew, kids from other, well, I was fortunate enough to work for the Future Collegians World Tour for 9 or 10 years. And I learned a little bit about rankings and how that works and all that. And that was a thing that these tournaments needed to be ranked, nationally ranked. And all of a sudden, here comes kids from Arkansas and Kansas and Texas and other places to come play because their states didn't have anything. And that's a lot of that's how it grew. And then coming to the OGA with it was a big thing for the credibility of the tour, I think. And that's why I did it, you know. And those guys are going to continue. Mark Felder did, and Kevin and them are going to do the same thing. Jay Dowdikin's fantastic with the kids. And we have great rules official. Bob Phelps is one of the most highly, highly respected rules officials in the nation. And it's nice. And Robert O. Smith comes and helps us, you know. And it's nice when you have rules officials and things like that for the quality of your event. It's legit. It legitimizes what we did. But I mean, we had other kids too. Like, remember Vincent Nadeau?
Oh, very well.
You know, and he ended up playing really well at Purdue. I think he was freshman in the year of the Big Ten. And then I think he won two or three times in at Virginia Commonwealth. He was with Kevin Tway and Kropp and those guys. That was a really good group of kids. And I think when they started playing, it brought along a lot of others that wanted to be like them. Does that make sense, Mike?
It does. And it was obvious those kids loved having competition in the fall because they never had it before. And so let's just go over a few names here that came out of your junior tour. Kevin Tway. Kevin obviously was always going to be a good player, but he definitely got his start, and he would have just been playing basketball in September and October.
He was a fantastic basketball player is what I understood.
Well, he could shoot a three. He wasn't great at defense, and he'll admit that.
Could he stand in bounds and catch it?
Oh, boy.
Story on that one.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, there is a story on that. We're not going down that road. Okay. But Kevin Tway, who's won on the PGA Tour. Robert Streb, who's won twice or three times on the PGA Tour.
Three times.
Taylor Gooch, who's won on the PGA Tour and four times, I think, now on the LIV Tour. Austin Eckroat, who's a young guy playing beautifully on the tour. Taylor Moore's won on the tour. I mean, all of these kids have come out in the last 15 or so years of the OJGT. I know you got to be proud of that. And I've just mentioned a few. That there's got to be more.
Well, like, Francis, you got kids out there, like the young ones, like Charlie Saxon, and there's others that are playing. Quade Cummins and then there's a lot of other ones that came out later who are just right on the cusp of maybe getting their card and doing well. But the great thing about it, every one of those kids I've mentioned are great kids. They're great young men.
Well, they really are. And I think, you know, two of those played for me. Kevin Tway played at Oklahoma State for me, and Taylor Gooch played at Oklahoma State for me. And I actually saw Taylor at an OJGT event for the first time. You had told me about him. There's two memories I have. One where I stayed out at Trosper Park in 4 hours of rain one day because Taylor was going to be
there. I was right there with you.
Yeah. Wow. And then the other was, I think you and I talked about this earlier, but it was at Dornick Hills. It was the first time I would have seen him. I'd heard about a kid named Corey Whitsett from Houston. And obviously, I'd heard about Taylor. They were both seventh graders, and they made your team, the Oklahoma All-Star team that was going to play against the Texas All-Stars. Taylor had made the team, and Corey had made the team for Texas. And so I think I'll get to see them both at the same time. And there they were on the first tee at Dornick Hills, and there's Corey Whitsett, lefty, just hit it beautifully, and Taylor with an OU hat and an OU bag on. Well, the Oklahoma State golf coach is standing there right in front of him. So I watched nine holes. They both played beautifully. After the round, you asked me, so how did Taylor Gooch look today to you? And I said, well, he's very young, but he has talent. That kid's going to be a great player, but he's not very smart. And you said, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean by that? I said, well, he's got the Oklahoma State golf coach following him, and he's wearing OU gear, and he has an OU Sooners down the side of his bag. And the next day I came to the golf course for the final round, and he had on a generic John Conrad golf bag.
Well, and you know what? I can remember a card he wrote to me, when he graduated from high school. And he said, if it hadn't been for you and Dayton getting in my ear, I probably never would have gone to Oklahoma State. He told him to X all that other stuff and be generic and tell somebody, you know. But Taylor's one of the nicest kids, and his parents are. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, God, the kids that I've had the opportunity to be around. I had a kid a couple of years ago from Edmond, and I asked him, he was a good player. He probably could have gone and played D2. And I said, Kobe, where are you going to go play golf? He goes, I'm not. I'm getting ready to go to Votech, become a certified plumber, and have my own company in about 4 or 5 years. And Dayton said, that kid knows what's going on.
Well, you think about it. People would think that's not so exciting. He should play golf, but he's going to learn a skill and a trade that you and I both need. You can't fix pipes in your house. I can't either.
No. Right.
And we're going to pay that man good money to do that.
If he has 8 or 10 other guys working for him, he's going to make a ton. And so there's other kids like that have made those kinds of decisions. And there are lessons they could learn from practicing and playing golf and competing that they can use those skills in the business world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not just about the game of golf. It's the lessons you learn from it.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, we mentioned these great players that have gone on to play professional golf that obviously were a big part of the OJGT, but there were other kids, unsung heroes, people that you wouldn't know about. I know you've got some stories, but I want to hear a story about a young girl with a scorecard and her personal best. Tell me about that. I don't think you remembered her name, but you definitely remember the incident. Tell me about that.
I sure did. And because we used to keep, before we kept our scores on a computer, the kids would come to the table with the scorecard, signed scorecard. And this girl came, it was Lincoln Park. I think we were playing the West. And she came up and she had this scorecard. And I think the score she shot was like 85.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, honey, I know that's probably not your most fun score you've ever shot and whatnot. And she said, well, it's the best score I've ever shot in a tournament. I said, well, excuse me. And back then I would give them their personal best scorecard and they'd take it home. And then I said, now, when you beat that, you tell me and we'll replace that card in your bedroom with this one, the next one. And those are silly little things that I guess an elementary school teacher or principal would do. You know what I mean? And
well, the problem is society's telling you to be the best instead of being your best. And if that 85 is her best, that's exciting. It's wonderful.
And yeah, I know it's pretty. And she was really happy.
She was. And you almost blew her day. Well, tell me a story about Taylor Moore, about a putter.
Okay. And Taylor, forgive me if you hear this story, but you know I'm going to tell it. That he was out at Hefner North playing number 11. I think he was putting for an eagle from about 15 feet. And he had a brand new, what's the great
Scotty
putter?
Cameron.
Scotty Cameron.
Yeah.
And it was about 103 or 4 degrees out there. And he missed that putt and he just turned around with it and it slipped. He never threw a club. He just slipped out of his hand and went out into the pond.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I was in the golf shop. And so I get a phone call from his dad. And he goes, Moore, I'm about 60 miles off the Galveston coast on a company fishing tournament. I need your help. And he goes, what? And I said, what? And he goes, I need you to go save my son's life because his mother's going to kill him. Said, you can take him off the course. You can penalize him. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you don't get out there pretty soon, I'm not sure what his mom's going to do to him.
That was an expensive putter, Maury.
They still are. But but no, there's stories like that if I had more time, I could just sit and think them up, you know, and remember them. But, you know, when you deal with kids and you deal with families, and of course, Rod and his wife were both teachers.
Right.
At Edmond Memorial. And so they understood the teaching and learning process. But mom, Rod says, you need to get out there because she's going to kill him.
Yeah. I was probably recruiting him that day, no doubt.
But no, I mean, it's the greatest, other than my own son being around, and I'm going to go back and pat another person on the back. And that's Walter Hopper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He did so much to improve junior golf in Oklahoma when he started the PGA Junior Tour. Because that's all you and Dayton had growing up.
Yeah, I mean, Walter got that started. He had a few two-day tournaments, mostly one-day tournaments, but very affordable for kids.
Uh-huh.
A ton of my kids that I coached in Edmond, you know, we'd get five parents and take 15 kids in five cars and head down to Weatherford and play a tournament all day long and then come back. And so we did that, but that was summer only. What you did was create the fall junior golf too, but Walter did a fantastic job for years.
And there was a need for something in the fall. And that was one of the things when I went around and met with Steve Carson. And, you know, there's pros that have been with that tour since the year it started.
Mm-hmm.
Conrad, Lincoln, Hefner North, Kicking Bird. And a lot of those guys, I know Alsie sat there and said, the only concern that I have, and I said, we'll pay full walking green fees for the kids. Said, but what are we going to do for the loss of cart revenue? for those 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have spectator carts and we'll just charge full rate for those. And they rented so darn many carts. It was unbelievable. But I think it's been a good thing for the golf courses through the years, because we'll play if we have marginal weather, we're still playing. Yeah, as we well know from Trosper.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they wouldn't get a lot of public play on a day like that.
Have a lot of people not showing up for their tee times.
Yeah,
but the pros, and I'm going to pat the pros on the back, because nothing would have ever worked if the pros hadn't supported it.
Mm-hmm.
You
well,
know,
Halsey, Iden, and Steve Carson are two of the great club pros of all times.
Yes. And UC Ferguson told me one time while I was the starter out there at Lincoln when I was in college, he told me, he said, "What's the most important thing to being a golf professional?" I said, "I don't know. UC, you tell me." He goes, "Promoting the game."
Mm-hmm. Well, you promote the game so that you have future players to pay green fees to come out and support the game.
And the pros, by and large, every pro we ever went to supported those pros in Tulsa. You know, that we went to Bailey Ranch the first year we ever started. And those guys have stayed by that tour for years and years and years because they know the value of it from a business standpoint. That's tomorrow's customers. That's tomorrow's players.
Got to have them. You know, you get somewhat sentimental sometimes when you talk about these things. I think that's because you're a sentimental guy. But you told me something a couple of months ago when I interviewed you for that article about you still believe in kids. What exactly did you tell me there?
Well, I mean, you hear this, you hear that, you know, about how people don't have any faith in tomorrow's youth, today's youth and tomorrow's adults. And I said, I've told friends of mine, if you have any doubts about that, you need to come out some weekend and watch the kids play. You will have faith that there are kids out there, and I don't believe that God makes trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And most kids need to learn or need to be told that people are proud of them. And I know I get sentimental about that because I was taught that by my grandparents and many, many teachers that I worked with through the years. And the best teachers, and my grandmother used to say, Mike, and I would say this about parenting. My grandmother used to say that she would tell her teachers, if you want to be the best teacher in your classroom, you better be the best learner.
That's
if you're the best learner, you have a chance.
You got a chance, don't you?
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool. I've never heard that, but I love it. I'm writing it down right now.
She flip-flopped it on, you know, and so I used to say that when I was a principal to my teachers, and I've told it to parents in parent conferences. You need to be the best learner in your house to become the best parent and the best teacher.
That's wonderful. You have
to learn from young people, and that because young people are wonderful.
Yeah, but there's so many people that think in a very dark way, in a very negative, pessimistic way about the youth of today. But the truth is, kids are the same as they were when you and I were kids. It's the influences they have around them that have changed. Mm-hmm. And so if a junior golf tour has an influence on kids in a positive way, that's something that we've got going for us. And you mentioned it, these kids are really good kids that we are creating through the game of golf. Obviously you have occasional kids that aren't that great, but by and large, great group of kids that play this game.
Oh, you know, I'll bet you in the years that I've done it, in 22 years, I haven't had 5 kids that have been disrespectful to me.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of rules on my team, but one is to show respect and dignity for everybody we come in contact with. That's one of 3 rules I have. I know you had several instances through the year. I remember you talking about a few of them where a kid acted the wrong way. You called him or her out on it. And they learned a lesson and came out better on the other side. I don't know what teaching is if it's not that.
Well, I've had some kids out there that will maybe get angry and pitch a club or something like that. And if I see it, I drive out in the middle fairway and say, you know better than that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you this time. Next time, you may be coming off the golf course. And I can give you the names of a couple of kids that have turned out to be really good adults. But you know, you just, they know right from wrong. 99% of them do.
Yep.
And sometimes they just slip up, and they're human beings, Mike. You know, and but no, I that's the thing I think about the tour is I've loved every child that's come out there. And I hope that they know that I've loved them. Just like I loved all my kids when I was a principal. You know, they're God's gift to me.
I was always told it's truly 100 years from now, it won't matter what kind of bank account you had, what house you lived in, the car you drove, all those fancy trappings won't matter. But the world's going to be better because you were important in the life of a child. It's a fact. It's just going to be better.
Well, I look at a lesson, one of the greatest lessons I ever learned from the Bible is when Jesus said, suffer the children to come unto me because that's the kingdom of heaven.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
You know, and it's true. Sometimes the rest of us get in their way.
Well, don't we though?
You know, but yeah, it's going to be fun to go to the induction. I'm very humbled. Humbled more than I could ever say, you know, except that I am humbled. And it has surprised me when Ken and you guys call. I wonder sometimes what I've actually done to deserve it. But if I've done nothing but help children, boys and girls, then I've done what I should have done.
Well, I totally agree with that. And I'd look at the spirit in which it was done. You just wanted to help kids. And turns out you were able to make a living doing it, but you also created something you know was special and different, something that was needed. And the game of golf and kids and golfers in general throughout the state of Oklahoma have benefited. So I'm really looking forward to being at that ceremony next week. They're going to honor you and all the other inductees, which is great. So I just look forward to seeing you then, Maury.
And it's a real special thing for me to be in such a class. I remember as a junior player when Dayton was little, watching Stacy P kick everybody's butt in the PGA Juniors. She could go. I've known Mike Hewitt for years and.
I don't think there's ever been a girl in Oklahoma who was the best junior golfer in the state at age 12. That's pretty hard to be, but she was that. So,
one that I've ever seen that was Yu Zhong. Yu Zhong was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. She was very good. Very good.
The girl from Norman.
Right.
Played from 12 to 18 and never, you know, well, she was good. Played on the LPGA tour and she got injured and I don't know what she's doing now, but there's been some good ones and there's some right now out there. Caitlin Milligan, I guess, is in the finals of the LPGA qualifying right now. And, so again, there's a lot of good athletes, like I said, girls and boys that are picking it up and doing well. So, anyway,
well, I just want to say congratulations here to all my podcast listeners. Congratulations to you, Maury, for an incredible career, wonderful service, labor of love. Thank you for doing it. And I'll see you next week at the ceremony.
And I'm not going away.
I know you're
talking to parents on the phone and about college recruiting and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's other things I can do, but it just got to the point when 72 years old, the travel and everything was just wearing me down.
Yeah. So, well, stay involved, and thank you again for your service. Really appreciate it.
And, Mike, I love you.
Love you too, Mike. It's great.
Hey, bud. You have a good day. Thanks for calling.
You bet.